Mr. Tabor.
I'm not Bill Taylor. Mark asked me to kind of fill in for him, so I'll help out be able to introduce you to something else. I'm going to take a rather different perspective than Mark. When I was a child, there was a dread disease that my parents always warned me about, and it was called polio. And there was a charitable organization that was a franchise.
It's called the March of Dimes. Well, as we all know, polio was cured, first by the Sabine and next the Salk vaccine. And over a period of a number of years, polio basically disappeared from the world, actually. But the March of Dimes is still with us. Like many organizations, even though its mission was accomplished, or at least made redundant, it sought a new franchise. Now, this is sort of the way organizations work. They don't want to die. Okay. A good example of this, of course, today, a more modern example, is NATO, which, if you recall, was founded to oppose the evil empire of the Soviet Union. And about, 15 years ago, I think we won. But we still have NATO, and it's still looking for a new franchise. I would submit that regulation of telecoms is in the process of pretty much where we were at the March of Dimes. We're in transition. This is the important aspect about regulation, about telecommunications. We're in transition. We're in transition from a total monopoly world of the old Bell system to, and I want to focus here on the residential market, to an ending point, which I think most commentators agree to, and that is that the ultimately, this could be a long time, the price of telephone calls will be zero. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take a long time. It's not going to happen uniformly. It's going to happen more for some, quicker for some people than it is for others. But it's going to be email. That's the model. It's going to be email. Okay. Now, the transition is going to be long and it's going to be difficult. And it seems to me the primary function of regulators right now is to figure out how they're going to avoid the March of Dimes syndrome. How they are going to handle this transition. Because, in fact, this puts people out of a job. Puts regulators out of a job, and it puts a lot of people at Verizon and AT&T out of a job because their job is to handle the regulators. It's also a rather large change if we actually manage to do this, because what happens is, as long as you have a regulator, you have somebody to complain to. As long as you have a regulator, they have to find something to do, which is to sort of meddle and kvetch and, you know, micromanage stuff. And that's just going to happen. We're going to expand our franchise to broadband, or we're going to increase universal service, and give themselves something to do. Fred Kahn, who was, of course, the godfather of deregulation, understood it well when he understood that not only do you have to stop regulating, you have to kill the regulator. Okay, and he understood that. He killed the CAB, and Darius Gaskins a little later essentially killed the ICC. Okay, now that leaves us to the tender mercies of the market. Okay, and but in the meantime, how do we transition to get from totally regulated to totally unregulated? How is that going to happen? We see already. And Bob was very good at pointing this out, is that we're beginning to see substitutions. And I want to point out that even the Verizons of this world and the AT&Ts of this world, who are smart people but not exactly visionaries, okay, even they understand that in the long run the game is up. Just as I was leaving the FCC, we went through the first year where the number of access lines, wireline access lines in the United States went down for the first time since Alexander Graham Bell. They have continued to go down every year. Now, initially, a good chunk of this was because we were losing second lines. Remember second line? Remember teenager phones? Ha! Those are gone. It has increased recently because of wireless substitution, and it's increasing even more due to VoIP. It's irreversible. The telephone companies have finally awakened to this fact and understood that their business model is, in the long run, dead. Going from $60 to $80 billion revenue stream on the residential side, effectively to zero. This is not true in the business market, although we do see many businesses not substituting wireless, but substituting VoIP. A big issue for the telephone companies is, first of all, how to exit this stuff and build yourself a business that's viable in the long run. But part of it is, how do we handle the regulatory transition in getting there? Okay. Now, substitutability is going to be, particularly for wireless and VoIP, is going to be a problem. For some years now, I've been having an internal domestic dispute with my wife saying, look, we both have cell phones. This is what we use all the time. We've discontinued our long-distance carrier for our wireline. Let's cut the cord and get rid of it. She said, no, households ought to have wireline. So we'll see how that goes, and I'll keep you posted. But basically, a lot of households are coming to different decisions, and they will. We do change. Okay, we change our habits as consumers, as telephone users, as internet users. Look, for example, at the ubiquity with every area of the demographics of our society of email. Would anybody have even thought this 10 years ago? No. But yes, we can change, and it does happen. Okay. Broadband promises. Boy, haven't we heard a lot of these? Right? If only you do this for us, Mr. Regulator, we will expand out broadband. I mean, we heard this in Pennsylvania in 1991. You know, it never happens. They don't do it. Okay? They will expand broadband when the market demands it. They'll promise you anything. Don't believe it. Doesn't matter. When people want broadband, that's when they're going to get it, not when the regulators want it. You know, this is simple, okay? They won't do it, and there's no way you can hold them to their commitments. It's just that simple. It will go there when people want it, when they're willing to pay for it. C-Lights. I'm even surprised they're left, okay? Besides all the strategic stuff that the major companies did to them, here's the concept, right? We've had a telephone market for, what, a century or so? Talk about a mature market. It's really a mature market. And in 1996, just as the whole communications game is changing, okay, we open it up to competition. We can take a mature market, which is in a state of complete flux, and open it up to competition. What do you think is going to happen? Who wants to enter that business? It's an old business. It's got established players. You're not going to be able to compete well against them. I mean, just apply a little market analysis. It's not going to work. Right in the middle of the fact that everything is changing. Okay? You want to be in the telephone business, get in the VoIP business. You don't get in the C-Lite business. Now, you can sort of mix it up. I mean, the cable guys are doing this, and they're calling themselves C-Lex, and there's this whole 911 universal service stuff, and who are we going to call C-Lex? But basically, you're straight up, I'm going to compete with you through local loop unbundling. The only way that's a play is a regulatory arbitrage play. It's an arbitrage play because regulatory commissions have kept business rates high, and that's why you see relatively high penetration among the business users. This isn't any brand new technology, it's ancient technology, and you're just seeing it as a regulatory rate arbitrage. And to the extent that that eventually gets fixed, those guys are going to go away. Keep your eye on the Skypes and the Vonages, and even the Comcast. Now, Comcast, incidentally, is trying to signal to the Verizon that, well, we're going to compete with you, but we're not really going to drive you a stake through your heart, because they're keeping their VoIP, which is actually pretty good, at around $40 for unlimited service. That's a pretty good rate, pretty high. Okay, and that's a signal to Verizon, SBC, AT&T, yeah, we're not going to really drive the stake through your heart. Doesn't matter. Telephone companies have no choice. They're in a dying business. They got to use that revenue stream to do the alternate business. And they think that the alternate business is video. Now, that's an interesting play. Video is also a mature market. It's got plenty of players in it. And it draws upon skills that, frankly, the telcos don't have. An interesting story, okay? People don't notice this. It's like the dog that didn't bark in the night, but remember a couple of years ago, Comcast swallowed a company that was, well, like twice the size of it. It was AT&T Broadband. Remember that? Just bought them up, boom! They just ate them up. Now, usually when you have mergers like this, it's a disaster. They have difficulty integrating the firm. They don't know how to do this. There's you know, defections, there's waste, so forth and so on. Not a peep. It was just integrated very smoothly. So I know some folks at Comcast. I said, how did that happen? How did you do that? So they kind of laughed and said, well, actually, it was pretty easy. One of the things Comcast does well, and this is a skill you need in this business, is we know how to negotiate with programmers. Okay? We renegotiated all of AT&T Broadband's contracts with the programmers. And we essentially cut the money, amount of money we pay to those guys by half, which is a measure of how inefficient AT&T was at negotiating contracts and how good Brian Roberts is at doing it. So here's a skill which you wouldn't think of. You know, we all think about technology and fiber and stuff like that. It doesn't matter. Comcast's competitive strength is how well it negotiates contracts with upstream providers. We're going to see the same problem with Verizon. Okay? It's not a skill they have. You say, oh, well, they know how to put in fiber. Well, yeah, that's part of it. But I think increasingly a small part of it. There's other skills we have to bring. How do we bring entertainment to, you know, the mass of people? I don't think Verizon has the ability to do that. Yeah, they may learn, but it's going to take a long time. So we'll see how it goes. Quality of service. Yeah, an interesting point. Oh, yeah. Let's talk about competition here for a little bit. Everybody's convinced that whatever we have today is going to be what we have in the future. Yeah, so we have a duopoly today for broadband. We're going to have a duopoly for the future. Okay? And it's difficult to tell. Well, there's going to be new stuff. Okay. My favorite example is there's a guy named Craig McCaw, whose name you might remember from McCaw Cellular. And he's been the CEO of this and that. And he's now CEO of this company called Clearwire. I don't know if any of you are familiar with this. What he's been doing is actually offering broadband wireless to kind of middle-sized communities and towns around the country. Last time I checked, which was a couple of months ago, he was serving, I think, about 40 cities. Okay, but it's growing. Okay, it wouldn't surprise me it's up to 60 now. Now, he's using what would otherwise be sort of junk spectrum. Which is so-called ITFS spectrum at around 2.6 gig. He's been very successful in this model, and to me, this is stealth broadband, wireless broadband. Everybody's talking about WiMAX, which is this great thing that never seems to come. But he's doing it, and he's moving quickly at it. And this isn't in major cities, but he's doing it. Now, we'll see how well these municipal Wi-Fi networks work. My guess is this is a bad idea, but we'll see how they work. But in any case, no, we're already up to four pathways into the home. So we'll see what happens. How much we can support, I don't know. I doubt if we stay at a duopoly for very long. Let me get back to service quality. When I was at Bell Labs, this is sort of an engineer story. There was a story about quality, okay? And it went like this. An engineering professor is asking his students, give me a definition of quality, and they get up and give some statistical, you know, Deming stuff. And he said, no. He gets very exasperated. He goes over, and there's a telephone in the classroom, picks up the telephone, a robust kind of a guy, and he throws it against the wall. Thing splatters, right? And he picks it up, and there's dial tone. And he says, that's quality, okay? And we used to tell that story at Bell Labs, because, you know, it's our phones, you know, it's dial tone, we're delivering, this is great quality, okay? Then what we had, as you might recall, is CPE deregulation in 1976 or so. Turns out people didn't want that. They did not want telephones that could take a direct hit by a bazooka. Okay, that's not what they want. They wanted stuff with, you know, lots of little bells and whistles and features and stuff like that that kind of fell apart after 4 years. And that's what people wanted. Okay. We saw this when, do you remember video stores? They still have, I guess they still have, yeah. When they first started, there were these high-end video stores that would deliver VCRs, the tapes to your house. Very high quality. That's not what people wanted. They disappeared. What happens is the market will determine what quality we can deliver. And it may not be higher quality. It might be lower quality. As an example, you know, we have these cell phones. These cell phones are not as good as wireline phones in terms of their quality. We all know that. Even if you use them inside your house. But we're pretty happy with them. VoIP, much the same. It's going to be very interesting to see Vonage versus Comcast. They're both providing VoIP. One is over the public internet, which has, as Bob says, you know, some well-known problems of congestion and blockage, versus Comcast and all the other cable guys providing it over their proprietary networks. We'll see if this is a competitive advantage or not. I'm not sure it is. But in this case, I think we're going to see what gets delivered. What's interesting about this, particularly when you're calculating HHIs and you know, looking at, well, is this, you know, are we displacing wireless? It's very difficult to test this market because the market's changing. What wireless has done is means that the appropriate unit of analysis is not the household. That's the appropriate unit of analysis if you have a wireline, is you bought a wireline for your house. Now, we buy wireless for people. So we've transformed this into a household business to a person business. Well, you know, what's that do to your HHI calculation? I mean, part of the story that Bob's telling you, well, we don't really know. You know, you can't really get these numbers done. So the notion of doing a static analysis like HHI or, you know, looking at these bundles, you know, this business about triple and quadruple play, that's froth on top of the ocean, man. It's just not going to matter. Customers don't really want it very much. It's the companies that want it. Okay, eventually they're going to have to be pushed by customer demand. They're playing this as if this is a strategy. Bundling is not a strategy. At best, it's a tactic which might or might not work. These are monopolies that are coming into the market and they're going to face competition, and neither one of them knows how to really face competition. All these guys, cable and telcos, they have all come from the captive customer background, right? Is there anybody here that actually likes their cable company? Yeah, there you go, okay. Anybody here likes their telephone company? Telephone company, employees not included. The fact is, nobody likes you. Okay, you don't really know how to compete because you've got to get customers to like you in this business. You've got to get people to think highly of you. It doesn't mean you have to be like, you know, nice and wimpy. I mean, take a look at Disney, right? Everybody loves Disney, right? But there are really a bunch of nasty guys there. So, yeah, you can be very competitive, but you have to have a brand. The brand for the telcos and the cable companies is a bad brand. People just don't like it. And they don't know how to change. So this competitive battle is not going to be fought over technology. It's not going to be fought over bundles. That's a bunch of nonsense. It's going to be fought over brand, as far as I can see. It's going to be fought over bringing customers what they want. Do regulators help? Here, look. How do we price telephone? Well, we have these local service bundles. We have per minute charges. We have all this stuff is all the, and I would say economists were the ones that told them how to do this, right? Okay. So now we have wireless, and what does the pricing look like? It looks like bundles of minutes. Now, what's happening is everybody's moving to a bundles of minutes strategy, because that's what the market demanded. And so we're moving from this regulated rate structure, which we had for many, many years, towards much more of a buckets and minutes story. Because once you deregulate, you kind of see that's where the market wants to go. And I think that's what we're going to do. But I think it's a good example about regulators. Once you have regulators there, the locus of competition changes from customers to regulators. They're the ones you have to impress to make money. Customers, we still view them as captives. Okay? The notion of having regulators disappear is because you don't want somebody to complain to, you don't want somebody that Comcast and Verizon can use for strategic purposes to accomplish their ends in the regulatory arena that they can't do in the market. Okay? So, my advice for all you regulators out there, buff up your, you know, bios and your resumes, because I think in the long run, we'd all be better off if we exited out of that business. Thank you.